I love the story of the 10 lepers. One reason I love it is because there's room for everyone to climb in to the story. You see, most of the stories in the gospel, virtually every single one, is about an individual person in Jesus. But this story is not about an individual, but a group of people, kind of like us, who are all standing in the same place. They're standing in common need, aren't they? It's a little congregation of 10. Maybe they're very different individuals, but they're standing together right now because they have something in common. They all need something. And they look at Jesus from a distance and they cry out, "Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us." Now, the name of their particular need was leprosy. The name of the need isn't what matters. What matters is they had a need. And they knew that only Jesus could fix it. What matters is that we all come to this place crying out to Jesus, "Have mercy on us," because we all have a need for God's mercy. And what matters is that we're in the circle and we get included as we call out for help. Now, there's a sadness, I think, pressing against some of you today. And if so, you belong in that circle. Some have guilt that they can't seem to get rid of. You belong in the circle too. Maybe your soul is just tired or confused. Maybe you're scared. Maybe a little lonely. Well, welcome to the group. We're glad you're here. Do you see what I mean? Maybe you're in the dark right now. You've got some kind of hard decision and you don't know how to make it. Welcome to the circle. You're in. And it doesn't have to be you that's on your mind. It could be somebody else who's in trouble, and you'd do anything you could to fix it for them. But you don't know how. You come on in too. People in the circle don't have to feel close to Jesus. In fact, they see him sometimes a long way off. But you come in and you raise your hand with the rest of us. And you say, "I'm here too. Jesus, do you see me? Do you care? Will you have mercy on me?" Now, what I hope you don't mind is who's in the circle with you, because it's all the rest of us. You know, real need can put you in very different company. Interesting story I heard about those who were gathering in shelters from the storm found that they were, some of them, with people they didn't care for. Isn't that interesting? But they were in the shelter together. because, well, they had a common need. And sometimes that's what need does. It brings you together. Even those you sometimes don't necessarily agree with. When you recognize your common need, it doesn't matter anymore, the differences. That's the thing about leprosy. When the doctor diagnoses you as a leper, well, you lose all your old memberships. In the New Testament times, a leper couldn't stay where he or she used to belong. Lepers had to leave their place, their positions, their familiar relationships, and they had to wander on the outside of things. They even had to leave the city gates. They weren't welcome in town. And in that group of 10, there were some people who didn't trust each other. All of them lepers. And there were some people there who had judged each other, even hated each other. In that circle were old enemies. There were Samaritans and there were Jews. And they didn't like each other at all, but there they were together because they shared a common need. Can you imagine that? It's funny how those old divisions don't matter anymore. They don't matter at all when you know where you really belong is in the fellowship of suffering. Where we're all in this together, aren't we? So we don't really care about those other things as much anymore. Jesus gives an answer to the group who cried from a distance, but to people like us, his answer is really a shock. You know, what he doesn't say is, "Children, I know how much it hurts." Or, "Tell me more about this pain that you're experiencing." Or, "How does it make you feel?" He doesn't ask those kinds of questions, does he? He doesn't even come closer to them. He doesn't touch them like he normally does when he heals. What he says is a strangest answer. He says to them, "Go." Sounds like a command, doesn't it? "Go." Folks, sometimes you need comfort. And what you get is a commandment. Has that ever happened to you at church? You come here and you're hoping that maybe a good word will be said, and all of a sudden all the preacher does is talk about all the things we're supposed to be doing. I kind of like to hear a good word. You know, something soft, not quite so harsh. "You mean I have to do this stuff?" Yeah. That's all I need in my life is one more thing I have to do, right? And it feels like a burden. You come expecting that you're going to find peace or comfort and you hear a sermon on giving. Oh my. I didn't want to hear that. And certainly not today. Don't you hate it when that happens? Anybody? This means yes. This means no. Some of you are asleep. You don't care what I'm saying. But what the story suggests is that when you have the greatest need, what you really need is something to do. Have you ever felt that way? Because what happens when you have the greatest need is, you know what you end up doing? You know what you end up doing? You focus inward. Don't you? You take care of me. And then what do? Well, then you get depressed because you're just taking care of you. Right? You know, sometimes, folks, what we need is something to do outside of ourselves. Stop focusing on you. When you were little and you were pouting in your room, did your mother or father ever come in and say, "Go outside? Why don't you just go outside? Go find a friend to play? Why don't you go do something?" Why would they say that? Because you stop focusing on you and you start focusing on something else, right? Sometimes the best thing to do is to do something else. "Go and show yourselves to the priests," what he says. Now that's even a peculiar command because that's exactly what the leper was supposed to do after after they were cured. You see, after leprosy was cured, then they would go show themselves to the priest so that the priest could inspect them to see if there were any signs of leprosy, and then they could go back into the community. But Jesus tells them to go and do what they're supposed to do after they're cured. Now, that's an odd thing for them to be doing, don't you think? You mean we're supposed to go show ourselves to the priest now? We haven't yet been cured. He can't heal them. He'll probably tell them to do something in faith. In other words, he'll honor them with a partnership. If you do your part, I'll do my part. This is what Jesus is saying. If you do your part, I'll do my part. How's that? We'll do this together. Folks, that's the meaning of all of God's commandments. All of what we call the law is really God's gracious insistence that we take the steps we need to take in order to get to the place where we have our own healing. We do what we need to do in order that the healing may come. These ten decide to trust the grace of a commandment. Uncured, they are obedient. They do what they know to do. And somewhere down the road, they get new skin. That's one of the reasons I love this story, folks. You know, healing, most of the time, for most of us, happens in just that way. I talk to people in grief, and they tell me, when will it ever stop? When will the pain ever go away? When will the healing come? And 10 years later, I asked them, so when did the healing come? I don't know. Somewhere along the way, right? Just somewhere along the way. Can you put your finger on it? No, I really can't. I was healed on the way. That's kind of how it happens, isn't it? With the healing inside, the healing of the soul. Go do what God has called you to do. Go live the life God has called you to live. Be faithful in living it. Do what you know you're supposed to do. And along the way, you discover the healing has come. Somewhere down the road, we discover we've been healed. In Pilgrim's Progress, old Christian has a burden on his back. He hates the burden on his back, and he's trying to get rid of it. The guy named Evangelist says what you need to do is go way up there to the little wicket gate. And so he goes way up there to the little wicket gate, and he runs and he falls and he crawls until he finally makes it there, and the burden is still on his back. And he says, why is the burden still on my back? And his host says, well, as for the burden on your back, be content to bear it for now until you come to the place of deliverance, and there it will fall from your back of itself. And further down the road, it did. The Word of God isn't magical. We keep wishing it were, but it's not. The Word of God itself doesn't heal us. The Word of God sends us on the pathway where healing overtakes us. We begin doing what we know God wants us to do. We live the kind of life that we know God wants us to live. We do the kinds of work that God wants us to be doing. And along the way, the things of God come to us. And the things of ourself fall away from us. And it just naturally happens. It happened to the ten. It's a healing on the way. Somewhere on the way, they looked, they discovered their ruined hands, their feet, their faces have put on new skin as perfect as a child. And don't you know, they were ecstatic. Can't you see the high fives? Can you see the woo-hoo? Can you see it? Look at this. Wow. New skin. And they do what just about any of us would do, headed down the highway with a brand new life. What do you do? Accelerate. Jesus told them to go. Going had made them better. What are new feet for except for running? Go faster, if not to sprint to finish. So the priests, they go and step on it. One of them, though, stops. Breaks rank, turns completely around, and suddenly is in no hurry to see the priest. He's got something wilder than this compliance on his mind. He got new skin, a new life, and he's going to do something different. He runs the other way, praising God, says Luke, with a loud voice, and then he falls at the feet of Jesus, saying, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." You can bet it wasn't a tidy little speech. You think maybe tears were involved? I think so. You think it was a bit loud? I think so. That's praise. Sometimes it brings tears. You're just so glad about what God's done in your life. You can't help but to cry about it. That's praise. You're so thankful for God's love, for God's peace, for all that God has done, and you feel it. Bill, we've had some of that with your music. I've heard some people tell me they just hear it and start crying. And by the way, a little word for Bill. He's got CDs, and he said after he finishes playing all the good ones that are on the CD, you can have one. But he's not going to let you have it until after he finishes playing them. Because otherwise, he said, that'll ruin it. You'll hear it first, and then it won't be as big of a deal. So we're grateful for that, Bill. I'm looking forward to that. And then the tears can come again, can't they? You can listen again. That's praise. Just giving thanks to God. You ever done that? Just give thanks? It's a good time of year to do that, folks. Go out and sit by a lake and look at the beautiful trees and just cry with praise. Just give thanks to God for the beauty of God's creation. Can you do that? Take a little ride on the parkway with your loved ones, your family members. Why not? Right? Just thank God for all the beauty around you. Give praise for the little gifts, for the children, for the laughter. Just give thanks. Oh, he's been cleansed from the stigma that he had. But this one, he's still wearing stigma, isn't he? The one that came back. Remember what Jesus said about him? Is he still an outcast? Yeah. He's the one that came back. And Jesus says, "Where are the nine?" Well, they're all out doing what you told them to do. I'm the one that didn't. They're the literalist. God love them. They're doing their duty. They've taken the road as commanded, and they've gotten better on the road, and now they seem to think that they're going to just stay on the road, and that's the thing to do. They're kind of like Forrest Gump with football, crossing the finish line. They just keep on running when they go past the goal line and right out the stadium, right? And the celebration happens without them. Maybe part of what keeps these guys running is their eagerness to be certified. That's what the priest is going to give them. Certification of a cure. All their memberships are going to be restored. And that Samaritan knows, you know, it's not really going to matter to me that much to go to the priest and be certified by him. Is it? He's not going to see me anyway. Because I'm a Samaritan. Maybe he figures, you know, everything that matters that I needed restored has already been restored, and that's all that matters. So he also knows what time it is. It's time for a doxology, not the kind we have here. Time to turn loose. Time to let love sing. It's time to sing as loud as you can the unnecessary song and really sing it as if it is necessary. Because here's the thing, until you find yourself in that place, until you get to that place where you can give God that kind of thanks, you'll never be whole. You can run down the road doing all the right kinds of things until the cows come home, and it'll make you better, but you'll not be whole. Jesus gave 10 healings that day. Everybody obeyed his commands, and they all got new skin, but one poured out praise at his feet and heard him say, "Now that's faith." And you, and only you, have been made whole. The others got healed. He was made whole. Why? Because he knew where the healing came from. And he gave the right praise and thanks to the right one. And he came back. Jesus requires obedience, and that's the necessary half, but he loves the unnecessary half. Folks, the part where you run back to God and you improvise on your own and you give a free expression of love and praise and thanksgiving, and that's the other half, and that's the half that makes you whole. It's in the rhythm of both that we become complete. If Jesus stood with us today, do you think he'd say, "So where are the nine?" Or looking at us, would he say, "Where's the one?" Sometimes I think we look for all the world like a dutiful procession of lepers trying to do the right thing, come into temple. I'll do the right thing. I'll do the right thing. I'll do the right thing. And folks, I think so often what I hear parents tell their children is it's a got to and not a get to, but church isn't a got to, folks. Church is a get to. You get to come worship God. It's not a got to. But we tell our kids, get up. We got to go to church, don't we? No, you don't. It's not a got to. It's a get to. And let me tell you, in life, those things that are get tos, man, you run to that, don't you? And you look forward to that. And you give thanks for that. And you give praise for that. That's a get to. And when you feed this to the young people that it's a got to, oh, they hear you. And so when they get old enough where they don't have to go, they don't go. Because they're watching you. Are you doing it out of obedience? Are you doing it because you have to do it? Are you doing it because you think God wants you to do it? Are you walking down the road doing what you think God wants you to do and that's it? Are you coming and giving praise and thanks to God for all that God's done for you? And celebrating the gift of life that you have and the gift of grace that you have and all the ways that God has blessed you along the way, and you can't help but look forward to Sunday. I had a lady at one church tell me, she said, "I start getting ready for Sunday morning, Saturday night. I can't wait to come. I'm so excited to come to church. I can't wait to give praise to God. I can't wait to sing to God. I can't wait to be in the presence of other Christians and to celebrate that wonderful gift of God's love for all of us." It's a wonderful gift. If you're studying the book that Bonhoeffer's written, you'll find that it's true. Same thing. Life together is a gift, folks. It's a gift. It's not a got to. It's a get to. You get to worship. You get to praise. You get to give thanks. And it's a recognition that I have an opportunity to come back with others and celebrate all that God's done. Are you the nine or are you the one? Why are you here? Because you got to come? Because you get to come. Sometimes I think we're the procession of lepers doing the right thing. But what I hope you'll do and what Jesus wants you to do is not just what you're commanded to do, but that and more. And Jesus told the ten, now afterwards, I want you guys to come back and I want you to give praise. Do you think they would have done it? Anybody? If Jesus had told them, you go to the priest and then you come back here, you think they would have done it? This means yes. This means no. I'm looking at you all. You're looking at me like, what? You think they would have done it? Yeah. I do too. Is that what Jesus wanted? Just to do what you're supposed to do? They wouldn't be whole. So here I am telling you what you have to do. Is that going to be real praise? If you're doing it because, well, Pastor Quentin said we were supposed to. I can't tell you what to do. But you know. I'll point you to some possibilities. This week you find yourself marching through the duties of the day and the thought occurs to you that you're living a very, very fortunate life. Why don't you just pause and give thanks and show your love to God? Why don't you just stop, you know? You don't have to. Why not? Why not? Do it because you love God. Do it because you're thankful for all that God has done for you. So you're with somebody and somehow and suddenly you see how much they mean to you. Well, why don't you do the unnecessary thing and say it? You don't have to. But why not? Just try it. Not necessary. Don't have to. She knows I love her. Yeah, well, why not? Try it. How about you say it? I know. You don't have to. And now if you do, she's going to say, you just telling me that because Pastor Quentin said so in the sermon on Sunday. You're thinking about life and all that's happened to you and all that you've received and all that's left, and the wild thought occurs to you that you could this very day offer a whole new way of life and help somebody else out. Why not? Hey, why not? Give it a shot. If in the presence of the beautiful, something in you wants to just sing, give thanks, kneel and pray, go on ahead. Just do it. Forget about what others might say or think. Just do it for God, right? Hope you know how to pay attention to the commandment and to the law, but more than that, pay attention to your heart, folks. And if there's this urge inside you to give unnecessary answers to love and thanks, just do it. If the text comes back to you in that way, come back the best memories you've got, give back the best praise you can, come back to the people who truly give meaning to you. Give thanks to them. What is it? What do you need to go back to? Maybe you just need to come back to life. Just give thanks for what you've got. Come back and say, God, you've given so much to me. I want you to give me one more thing. A grateful heart. How about that? A grateful heart. It'll make you whole. I guarantee it. It'll make you whole. That's what praise does. Let's pray. God, you're the one who's heard all our cries for mercy. And you're the one who's set us down a path. And that pathway, Lord, is going to make us better. But help us to hear our own hearts and to do the unnecessary that makes us whole. Help us to love you dearly, to praise you fully, and to serve you gladly. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.